Welcome, my friends, to the show. I have to preface this episode by admitting that we recorded this a few days ago before the passing of former Megadeth drummer Nick Menza. We talk a lot about Nick and how we were looking forward to meeting him at Comicpalooza and hopefully being involved with like his panel and buying artwork from him that he is about to premiere his brand new artwork. It was a shocking and sad moment for metalheads everywhere. I grew up with Nick Menza. He was my idol as a drummer when I was younger. Rust in Peace, man, Countdown to Extinction, Euthanasia, classic albums. Rust in Peace, probably, like I say later, one of my top albums of all time. And I was really looking forward to meeting the guy. I've never met him before, and I feel bad that he's gone now. We've lost a legend. So the news broke this morning that Nick passed away after collapsing on stage during a performance with his band Ohm. The cause of death is believed to be a heart attack. He was actually 51 years old. Nick was beloved for his work with, you know, Megadeth, appearing on 5 of the band's albums. My favorites, you know, definitely Rust in Peace, Countdown to Extinction, Euthanasia. That's, everybody has to agree, that is their classic period. It's weird, during his career he worked with a wide range of bands, including John Fogerty, Marty Friedman, of course, solo stuff, Christian Nesmith, Orphan to Hatred was another band he was in, and then of course now Ohm. We are here at MSR Cast and Metal Geeks, we are saddened and stunned at the news of Nick's passing. But you know what? If there was any consolation to be had, it's found in the fact that he died doing what he loved. And the world is a little less awesome now, man. We have decided in his memory that we are not going to edit any of the talk we had about Nick Menza and Megadeth and his appearance at Comicpalooza out of this episode. It's a proper way to pay respect to somebody that he was an idol of mine, especially. So this is the episode in its entirety. Rest in peace, Nick. And well, you know what? From rust in peace to rest in peace. Here's the show.
Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man, reminding you that Comicpalooza 2016 is almost here. At Comicpalooza, there are literally thousands of hours of programming. You'll see your favorite celebrities, comic book creators, and authors. You'll experience crazed cosplay events, rowdy professional wrestlers, raucous roller derby girls, and so much more. Special celebrity events at this year's Comicpalooza include a cast reunion of the classic 1986 sci-fi horror favorite, Aliens, featuring Sigourney Weaver, Bill Paxton, Michael Biehn, Paul Reiser, Carrie Henn, and more. Also, the cast of the Boondock Saints will be in attendance, including Sean Patrick Flannery, David Delarocco, Clifton Collins Jr., Brian Mahoney, and of course, Walking Dead star Norman Reedus. Other celebrity guests include Underworld star Kate Beckinsale, Lenny James from The Walking Dead, Eliza Dushku from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Darth Vader himself, David Prowse, Star Trek's Walter Koenig, Sherilyn Kenyon, Cal Mitchell, Matt Hawkins and Top Cow Comics, Fear Factory, the original Incredible Hulk Lou Ferrigno, wrestling superstar Ric Flair, comic book legends John Ostrander and Adam Kubert, and beware Sharknadoes, it's Tara Reid. And of course, me, Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man and podcaster extraordinaire. Be sure to follow Comicpalooza on social media, on Twitter at Comicpalooza, Instagram at Houston Comicpalooza, and like us on Facebook to keep up with our amazing guest announcements. Don't miss Comicpalooza 2016 at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston, Texas, June 17th through June 19th. Get your passes today. Head over to www.comicpalooza.com for all the details.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 103 of the Metal Geeks podcast. I am one of your hosts. I am Carrie, the Metal Geek. And this is a very impromptu episode because I wanted to get something out to everybody. So we were in the midst of recording an episode of MSRcast. So I brought on my co-host from that show, Sean the Metal Pigeon, on to this to discuss what we're going to have on this episode.
Hello.
What's up? Thank you for joining us on Metal Geeks, or joining me on Metal Geeks tonight.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So this is a very metal-filled episode, I think, because what I'm bringing you tonight, basically, it's my interview with Dino from Fear Factory when they played here last month on their world tour of the 20th anniversary for Demanufacture.
Yeah.
One of my favorite albums of all time. Probably top 10, if not top 5.
Damn.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay.
Wow, can you believe that? I've interviewed Dino before through like phone interviews,
yeah.
Just typical, you know, PR rhetoric type of stuff. But the reason I went to interview him for this at the show was for Comic Blow, for the blog. And we talked a lot about what Comic Blow was and what he could expect, because he's never been to a con like that.
Okay.
Never.
Yeah. Not even as an attendee.
Well, he said he's been to, well, he'll talk about it later, but he's been to E3.
Okay, yeah.
Which is totally different.
Different.
In a weird way, but.
Right.
And, you know, what's cool is that Burton C. Bell is actually from Houston. He's from the Sugar Land area.
Yeah.
So it's like a welcome home for him in a big way, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He doesn't live here anymore, though, right?
No, he does not.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm actually going to talk to him. Where did you grow up? What's going on?
Yeah. Talking about Houston, that'd be interesting.
So two of the guests that are going to be at Comic Palooza, are from Houston that I know of. We have Burton, and then we have Sean Patrick Flannery.
Really?
Yes, sir. Sean Patrick Flannery went to my high school. He graduated the year that I started the freshman.
Wow, that's interesting.
So I'm trying to find, I think we talked about before, I got to find my yearbook from my freshman year and get him to autograph it.
That'd be cool, yeah.
That'd be a cool place to autograph, right?
Yeah.
So I had a lot of fun doing this interview with Dino, and we've discussed this topic to death about how great the new Fear Factory album is.
Right. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to them being at the show, and rumors I've heard that somebody in this room might do like a moderation on their Q&A ish.
There's no one else in this room, but you and me. So
that's true.
It's not me.
It's not you. It might be me. I don't know. I would be super stoked to do it. So, I mean, cut my teeth last year with Dave Ellison, so
yeah,
I can do it.
That was a good interview.
I know a lot about him too. So
yeah,
been listening to Fear Factory since 1992, 93.
Right. Yeah.
So
it'd be better than the. It would be
almost more than half
higher,
my life.
A higher caliber of question than how's the tour going? Mm. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
All right.
I talk about the tour on this interview, but not really.
Okay, yeah.
We do talk about which album they want to do in its entirety.
Mm.
So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So the reason we're putting this out for Metal Geeks instead of the sister show, which is MSRcast, which is our heavy metal show, is because of the Comic Palooza involvement. And since Metal Geeks is part of the Comic Palooza podcast partnership program, say that three times fast. CPPP. There you go.
Okay.
I wanted to sort of keep it all together, you know, so we're putting this episode out. We're not doing an album. We're doing an episode of, and, you know, put it all together because it just really didn't make sense to do it on MSRcast.
Yeah.
Even though it is, we do dive into topics that deal with like albums and touring and being in the band and all that kind of stuff.
But yeah.
We do talk about some geeky stuff. It was right before, I will admit this, is right before Batman versus V Superman came out.
Okay, so, yeah, no.
He
no.
hadn't seen it yet. I had, so I tried not to spoil it for him.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty funny.
All right.
Yeah, I went to a sneak preview of it, and he was like, I've been on tour. I haven't seen it yet. I might go. We have a day off tomorrow. I might go see it. I need to find out his opinion when we see him.
Yeah.
So you got to come to Comic Palooza. I'm calling you out on this show as well.
Okay, we'll see if we can make this happen.
No, just take that weekend off.
Okay.
Even if you go for a couple of days, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. I've never been to a Comic-Con before.
Yeah. And some of your coworkers go sometimes, so they have a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. I always hear both ends of it. I always hear what they didn't like and what they like. Anyway, so yeah, I'd be interested to go, yeah, and see what it's all about. I don't know anything about Comic-Con, so yeah. Just what I hear from you guys.
Right. I think you would have a blast.
Yeah.
You'll find all the Flash TV show merchandise you want.
Oh, boy.
Not much person of interest, but.
Yeah, I know. That's a shame, too.
I want to.
He's the Batman that no one knows about.
We talked about Person, the band Person from England that you just saw, P-U-R-S-O-N.
With Dina?
No. On the last episode of MSRcast.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So
that's right.
We need to have person of interest for you. Right?
Yeah. Person. See what I did there? Yes, yeah? I get it.
Right. You would listen to that. Watch that show, wouldn't you?
Yeah, definitely.
I think I definitely would.
Yeah.
Because I have a newfound respect for lead vocalist in that band.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we do.
Look up their video for what's the name of the new song?
Electric Landlady.
Electric Landlady. It's play on words, guys.
Yeah.
Because it's Electric Ladyland, of course, was the Jimi Hendrix.
Hendrix.
Song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah.
I see what they did there. But let's talk about the Comic Palooza podcast partnership program.
Okay.
A lot of great shows that are going to be covering the convention. Of course, Metal Geeks is part of it. A lot of good friends of ours, like Comical Podcast, Nerd Foo, The Nerdery, bunch of different shows that are friends of us are involved. And another show called Craig Price Points with Craig Price. Totally different concept of any other show that's covering Comicpalooza. But what he does, he interviews business people. Every episode is a different type of business, and it's to inspire other business people or other people in their day-to-day lives how to better themselves and
it's pretty cool.
Take things from other aspects of life and move it and put it in there the way they handle their day-to-day life, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And the last episode that just came out, I'm going to have to pull up the episode number. Let's see here. Go ahead and talk amongst yourself real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of like a nerd-focused business podcast. That's like something I
Well, it's not always nerd, but so the last episode is 197. It just came out. You can look for it. Just go to Reality Check with Craig Price in your Googles. He did an interview with me.
With you.
Yeah, me, about the social media marketing that we do for Comicpalooza and all that
cool.
kind of stuff.
So,
it's interesting. I tried to – it was very – He was pushing questions. I know you were, Craig. He was like, oh, so you know about guests that have not been announced yet. How long in advance? I'm like, I'm not giving up any secrets, dude. Stop.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And he was pushing at it. You know he was.
Right.
But I know he was. It was fun. But it's an interesting interview. It's something I wasn't really used to being, I guess, considered an expert.
Right.
In it.
Yeah.
And I am using air quotes when I say expert.
You've been doing this stuff a long time, though.
Yeah. So that's true.
Yeah. It's always interesting how behind the scenes, I've always been into behind the scenes stuff, like music industry, even movie industry, all that kind of stuff. I like watching that kind of stuff. And yeah.
It is definitely interesting.
Yeah.
So, Comicpalooza, we're going to get you there.
I think we're looking at an 80% chance I'll be there.
You're excited for the Backstreet Boys, right?
Who is a major like headliner that's going to be there
that you would like?
Yeah.
How about the cast of the 1986 Aliens movie?
I'm thinking more of like a beautiful female persuasion.
Sigourney Weaver?
Okay, that actually works, yeah.
Kate Beckinsale?
Okay, yeah. All right, that's
Eliza kinda... Dushku?
Oh, we should just led with Eliza Dushku.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So
I put Sigourney Weaver first, didn't I? How about Ming Chen?
Ming Chen, that's fine.
I have to.
He's not
I'm not trying to,
self-promote.
Name drop or anything like that, but I have to give a big thanks before it gets too late. Thanks, of course, first of all, to Ming for being so cool to all the podcasts here in the Houston area when he comes down. Secondly, thanks for doing the commercial that I put together for the podcast program. And most of all, Ming Chen was at a convention last weekend called the Motor City Con in Detroit. No bones about it. I've mentioned it many, many times that I'm a huge fan of the Monkees. I was super jealous that Michael Nesmith was actually a guest at that show, at that con. And a couple of our coworkers from Comicpalooza went there. And I was like thinking about it. The autographs were $100 for his autograph, which I can understand that. He's a legend in my eyes. But,
yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I want to pay that, especially with me not being there to actually get it physically in front of me.
Right.
And the last day, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do it because it's one of those things, if I don't do it, I'm going to be upset with myself. Didn't get a message to my guys there until it was too late. But on Saturday, I was talking to Ming through like messaging about something. And I was like, well, dude, have fun at that show. I'm super jealous that you're there. And I told him why about Michael Nesmith. And a couple of days ago, I get a message from him. He's like, hey, man, send me your address. I thought he was just going to send something down here to get ready for the show because he's one of our featured guests, you know?
Right.
Nope. I get a huge surprise in the mail today. He actually got a personalized autographed 8x10 of Michael Nesmith to me.
That freaking
is
freaking awesome.
That is the most amazing thing.
That is cool. Very
I
nice.
Owe you a big bottle of your favorite beverage, sir, whatever
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
The limit, though. There's a price limit, of course. I'm not made out of money, you know. I have to pay for an autograph now. But, I mean, I have right behind you, I have on my wall of autographs. It's a weird wide variety of autographs right behind you. So
yeah.
I have Boba Fett. I have Jeremy Bullock. I have Dave Ellison from Megadeth.
Right.
I have a photo that has Ming Chen, Brian Johnson, Mike Zapsik, and Kevin Smith. Then I have a Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes together. Then I have a Monkees autograph, 8x10, that has Mickey Dolenz. It has Peter Tork as well as Davy Jones. And below that is Chloe Bennett from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's a very Metal Geeks wall.
It is.
That wall.
I know, right? Yeah. I wish there was extra room. I would make it like an upside down cross out of it.
Right.
Out of autographs. But now I have another one to add to my collection. I have a Michael Nesmith autograph.
And that's awesome.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I can't thank you enough, really.
Yeah.
You got to come hang out with him, dude. You got to come meet him.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool. So I guess let's talk about where they can find us. Metal Geeks podcast all over the internet, and we'll get right into the interview. I don't want to waste any more time. You're a guest. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, you can find me at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at the Metal Pigeon, and you can find Metal Geeks at the Metal Geeks
at Metal Geeks.
Metal Geeks, not the Metal Geeks. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
There you go. You can find us at metalgeeks.net. Look for us on Google Play now. We're still on Stitcher. The Google Music Store, whatever it's called. They're really supporting podcasts now, which is really cool. And congrats to our friends at Texas Metal Show because they are now on Google and they are now on iTunes.
Oh, cool.
So check them out. They were on the last episode of MSR Cast, and we had a lot of fun with those guys.
Yeah.
John fucking Winningham. It's a great episode. If you go back and listen to
that. It's a fun episode. Yeah.
It is really good. So you can also find us as well on all of our collective, internet spots. Let's talk about those. You can find us on Metal Onslaught Radio, which, again, big thanks to TJ and Michael for what they do in keeping metal alive, especially here. All these different kinds of really cool podcasts, like our show, MSR Cast, is on there. That Drummer Guy is on there. Deep in the Horror of Texas is on there. A lot of great shows, and they stream 24 hours a day, pretty much. And all you have to do is go to your iTunes store and search for it, or go to the Android store and download the free app. Let's see. You can also find us at the Blast Syndicate, which is a great group of heavy metal based podcasts. Pod Bros, Houston Nerdcasting Collective, Altness.com, Nerdbong, and the ESO Podcast. All great places. And once again, we will be back next episode next week. We have a really cool interview with Kickstarter guys. They're doing a film documentary called Foolish Mortals. You know what that's about, right?
No.
It's a documentary about Haunted Mansion fans.
Oh, okay.
So I'm really excited for that.
That's interesting.
Yes, and Dave and George will be back for that episode. They weren't able to make it tonight because it was sort of like a last minute, let's just record an intro type of deal.
Yeah.
And if you want to hear this episode in the best way possible, how would you do that?
Well, you got to get some
badass headphones.
Headphones, yeah.
Where would you get those at?
I think there's a website. You got to go
would,
to...
Would that be tweakedaudio.com?
Yes, tweakedaudio.com.
Tweakedaudio.com. You got to get this ingrained in your head, man. You're going to come on the show. Tweakedaudio.com. We'll make this sweet and short for these guys. I love my headphones from these guys. I use them every day when I go running. I use them at work every day. They're so comfortable in your ear. Some headphones, you know, the earbuds, you wear them for like 15 minutes and they just start annoying your ears and you have to take them out.
Yeah, mine right now.
Yeah. Yeah. They are so comfortable. I can wear them all day and never be, you know, and never have to take them out, really. And so if you go to the website and you want to get your own pair, put in the code MetalGeeks, you're going to save how much off?
30%?
33%. A third off your entire order. Free shipping and a lifetime guarantee, which I accidentally broke my first pair. And they had a new pair to me in like 2 days.
Damn, that's pretty crazy. Fast. Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely check out our sponsors. They give us love, give them love back.
Yeah.
And let's get into this interview with Dino Cazares.
Dino.
From the legendary industrial metal band Fear Factory. All right, we are here at the Fear Factory Show in Houston, Texas.
Hey guys, we'll do an interview, if you don't mind.
We are here at the Fear Factory Show here in Houston, Texas at the Scout Bar, and I want to bring on to the show Dino. Thank you for coming, sir.
Fuck yeah. Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate that.
So one of the things that the first thing I want to talk to you about is Comic Palooza is coming up here, which is Houston's biggest comic convention, pop culture event. And you and Burton are actually featured guests this coming June.
Yeah, and we're very excited about that, and we're very honored that you guys would even consider us to do that. And, you know, we're very happy about it. We can't wait to do it. Coming up in June, we're excited about not only just, you know, us doing it, but seeing some of the other artists who are going to be signing at this event. So,
have you ever been to a big comic convention like that? You've been to, like, San Diego or anything like that?
Actually, no. I've been to a video game one, like E3 and stuff like that, but I've never been to a comic one.
It's a lot of fun, man.
I mean, I hear a lot about it. I see people, dressing up in costumes as different characters and so on and so on. I can't wait to go.
Have you heard about any of the other guests that are going to be there?
I mean, yes, of course. I mean, Sigourney Weaver, Bill Paxton. I mean, the whole cast of Aliens, too. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. I know we're going to find you at their booth the whole time.
Definitely, I'm going to be trying to get some autographs from them. I'm going to try to bring some of my action figures with me to get signed, because, you know, I've had those action figures forever, you know, ever since, you know, probably a little bit after the movie came out, I've had some of that stuff, so I can't wait to get it signed.
There's always a great combination at Comic Palooza of different artists. Like last year for the metal, the music scene, we had Dave Ellison was there, we had Marky Ramone, we had Gwar, actually in costume, hanging out. It was pretty crazy, man.
Oh, that's great. Well, I don't know if I'll dress up in any costume, but if I did, I don't know. I don't know what I would be. I mean, maybe Nacho Libre or something like that.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what I would dress up as, but I don't know. Maybe we'll surprise you. Maybe we'll surprise you.
Right. There you go. Yeah, somebody told me that the stench coming out of Gore's dressing room was pretty bad after wearing it all day.
Yeah, those costumes that they wear, I know they wear them nightly. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure after sweating, you know, for a couple hours a night on stage, that those things probably smell really bad. And probably just all the blood that they shoot out, I can imagine that, you know, gets
and
in there.
And other bodily fluids.
Yes, and other bodily fluids, exactly. But yeah, no, I've been a fan of Gwar. You know, that was cool that they were there, you know, last year or the year before or whatever it was.
So let's talk about your childhood. What did you grow up geeking out on? Movies, comic books? What? I know music, of course, but what in the geeky realm, what got you going when you were younger?
I would definitely have to say, you know, obviously, you know, who wasn't into Superman? Who wasn't into Batman and Robin? You know, I mean, of course, watching all the television shows and, of course, getting the comic books. But it wasn't just comic books. I mean, they were kind of everywhere you went. You know what I mean? You had them on bubblegum wrappers. Yeah. You had them on, you know, cards, collectible cards, just all kinds of stuff. And that was pretty much what got me going into it. Of course, Spider-Man. You know, Spider-Man probably being one of the main ones for me.
Are you excited for the Batman Superman movie?
I'm excited for it. We're probably going to go see it tomorrow. But we also heard, been reading a lot of bad reviews about it.
I saw it on Tuesday at a sneak preview. The only thing I can say is Ben Affleck is actually really good as Batman. And it surprised the hell out of me even.
But was it a good movie?
It's an okay movie.
It's an okay movie.
I think it is what it should be.
Okay.
But it's not a Marvel movie.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, all right, well, we'll find out tomorrow. I mean, I've been reading so many bad reviews. Everybody's talking crap about it, so. Yeah.
I think everybody was ready to talk crap out before it even came out.
Yes. But I also heard, you know, it's been sold out everywhere, so yeah. That's good.
Like they said, any publicity is good publicity.
Correct. You know, but do you think it'll be nominated for any awards?
Probably not. But it will make a shit ton of money.
There you go. Of course. Well, I think Ant-Man was one of my favorites. And yeah. Even Daredevil. That shit was hilarious.
The Ben Affleck or the Netflix one?
No, the Ben Affleck one. That was kind of funny. But
there's actually a director's cut of that one that actually makes it a lot better because the studio took it away from them. And now go check out the director's cut.
But I haven't watched the series of Daredevil yet. I haven't watched it. My friend's been telling me to do it. You know, series-wise, lately I've been getting into the show called Vinyl.
I haven't heard of that show yet.
And Better Call Saul. Yeah. I've been getting into those series lately, but you know, a lot of the stuff we don't really get to see that much on tour. Like right now, I'm watching cable TV. I'm like, yeah, cable TV.
Right.
You know what I mean? So a lot of stuff we don't really get to see.
I was going to ask you, when you're on tour, you're gone for like a month or two. How do you keep up with like your shows and movies and all the things that you geek out on?
Online.
Yeah.
That's the only way. The minute you get internet or on your phone, you know, you kind of keep up with it that way. But you know, a lot of things you kind of miss still. You know, like especially stuff that happens locally in LA. Some of the stuff I kind of miss, but for the most part, I keep up with as much as I can online.
So the band has always had definitely a science fiction aspect to the band. That's very much fits into what Comicpalooza is all about. Yeah. When the band was first getting together, how does that decision? Okay, we're gonna do it a little bit differently. We're gonna make our band that we're writing sort of fantasy, you know, lyrics and concepts.
Well, it came from, you know, Burton and I really connecting on a lot of movies that we liked. I mean, sure, it started from comic books, but then from comic books it went to movies. And, you know, obviously all the Marvels way later on, but, you know, it started out with, like, stuff like Blade Runner and Terminator, you know, all those series of movies that came out. And Aliens, of course, Aliens, you know. And it was like, you know, when we do a band, you know, we didn't do it. Because, you know, Bert's a really good writer, so it was like, you know, we need to take what Fear Factory means and make it into a story. So Fear Factory is obviously that anything that, you know, manufactures fear. You know, it could be anything. It could be church, religion. It could be the government, technology. So we decided to kind of like, you know, go with more of the technology theme because we were a fan of all the science fiction stuff. So we just took what we believed in or whatever we read, you know, the newspapers or books, and we just kind of like took those little bit of stories and or stuff that was happening, you know, with cloning technology and all kinds of stuff and taking those stories and just kind of making them into our own. And then Bert taking that influence and then just writing a whole story concept about it. So
and it fits the music too because you're able to add those electronic, that technology elements into the music and it all fits.
Well, that also goes with being a fan of movies because whenever you see a scene, there's always some great music behind it. You know what I mean? Especially the big blockbuster movies where they have insane orchestras, you know, playing in the parts. So we always like, okay, let's put a picture with the music and all the electronic elements that we put in there, all the keyboards, that came from just, you know, being a fan of the score and just, you know, incorporating it into our music and just helping enhance certain parts. You know, whether it be, you know, Bert's melodic vocals, let's add some melodic keyboards to make it a little bit more tense. You know what I mean? Or let's add some, you know, strings and violins to make it sound a little bit more, you know, darker. Or something that would just enhance certain parts. And then, of course, we've taken sound effects from, you know, a lot of movies, Terminator, Blade Runner, all the movies I mentioned, Aliens. We've taken sound bites and, you know, pieces here and there and added them into our music. And it's great because a lot of people sometimes hear our music and it's like, why you guys are not in the movie soundtrack? It fits so well, you know. And we got to do a couple. We got to do Mortal Kombat.
I was about to say that one, yeah.
Mortal Kombat, yeah. And it was the Saw one, of course, the Saw series. And
that's when Hollywood supported metal.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, we've always wanted to be in a Terminator movie. Like, people are saying, we have a song called Expiration Date. People are saying it should be in the new Blade Runner. And so right now we're trying to.
Oh, they're working on it, too.
I know. So we're trying to, you know, talk to the people. It's a little too early, but, you know, we're trying to get there.
I'm glad you mentioned the movie and the sound design, because sound design is such an important part of movie stores, and I think it's such an important part of your band. It's what makes you so genre-defining, I think.
Yeah, I think that, you know, adding all those sound effects, you know, that also came from influences of other industrial bands that we like Ministry and Godflesh and Skinny Puppy and KMFDM and all those bands that we like. You know, a lot of that influence came into it, but, you know, we kind of, you know, we put our own touch. Those bands influenced us, but we put our own touch into it because it was, we wanted our music to sound more mechanical, more like a machine, something that was repetitive but changed, but at the same time had this beautiful melody with Bert's vocals and the intense part being intense and then the melodic parts being really melodic, and, you know, bringing all the sound effects and bringing all the strings and all different types of keyboards to really enhance the part, you know, really worked well with our music. And we discovered it very early in our career, which leads us to D-Manufacture, which is the one where the band evolved. Because when you hear the first album, we're a little bit, you know, raw still, trying to find our way. You know, we put 17 songs on our first record. That's like two albums, you know. It was just a little unfocused. You know, we were young, you know, but still being a fan of all these bands, we were still, you know, we still hadn't evolved yet. So it wasn't until we did the second one, it's called Fear's the Mind Killer, where we hooked up with this guy named Reese Fulber, who he was able to, or he has spent hours where he just records the audio of movies. So even if he just, maybe it's just some ambient sound you hear in the background that has really nothing to do with kind of, it doesn't really enhance anything, but it's just a cool sound in the background. We've taken really weird parts, you know what I mean, just added them into the music to make it almost sound like when you're listening to it, like you're there, you know what I mean. And he spent hours working on that stuff, and when he started working with us on Fear is the Mind Killer, we pretty much did techno industrial, pretty much extreme remixes, and the extreme part is coming from Bert's vocals and my heavy guitars. And it was something that, you know, people really hadn't heard at that time. And that pretty much was when we realized, okay, this electronic element fit really well with our music. And it was closer to the vision that we saw our band being. So when it came to D-Manufacture, of course, we brought in Reese Fulber to help us out with all those soundscapes that we wanted to put in there. And then we focused on 10 songs instead of 17 right. songs. And we really crafted those songs, and we got better. We got really good, and then, boom, we recorded the album, and here we are today, 20 years later.
Yeah,
you know, so doing this record in its entirety.
I'm so super excited. I'm not going to fanboy out here, but one of my top 10 albums of all time is D-Manufacture, and I'm excited for you guys to be playing it live in its entirety. How did that come about? I know 20 years, but and a lot of bands do the let's play the old album in its entirety.
Yeah, well, it kind of like, you know, spawned from other bands doing it, of course. Yeah, you know, I've heard so many other metal bands doing it, but you know, Kraftwerk did it, you know, other industrial bands have done it. I know that Al Jorgensen's, I don't want to say it, but I know other bands are thinking about doing it too. And so we thought, well, fuck, let's, you know, 20 years of D-Manufacture, it happens to be one of the fan favorites. Let's do it and see what happens. So we first did it in Australia 2 years ago, and it was very successful. And then we decided, okay, let's take it to Europe and see what happens. And then we did it there. It was also very successful. So the U.S. has been crying for it, so we're doing it here now too. But who knows? Maybe in a year we'll do Obsolete in its entirety. So,
wow. So
you know,
On this tour, you have Soil Workout with you, which usually they could headline. How do you pick what bands are going to actually come out with you on tour?
Well, we thought Soil Work fit really well with the band because they have a lot of melodic parts in it as well. They have a lot of extreme parts, and they also have a keyboard player with them live. So we thought that they would fit with us really well, and the fans would get it. And it's working out great. I mean, we've been having sellout shows. You know, we've had a few sellout shows already. And New York, you know, Kansas City sold out. I'm sure LA is on the verge of selling out. We sold out Gallup, New Mexico, San Antonio. So it's, you know, it's good. So I think we have the right package.
Do you enjoy being on tour? I know it's a necessary evil the way the digital age is now, but is this, do you enjoy making the music or do you enjoy being more on tour?
I enjoy both. I mean, of course, I enjoy being creative. You know, when you're in your environment, you're at home, you're comfortable, your mind's free, you don't have to do interviews, you don't have to talk to a lot of people, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can more focus on, you know, what you want to create, which is great. Love it. But then once you create it, once you get it out there, you want to go out there and you want to, like, hear what the fans' reactions are, you know? And the best way to see that is to go and perform it live and see how they react to it. You know, to me, that's kind of, if you can make somebody happy, that to me is successful.
So with playing Demanufacturer in its entirety, how do you decide, okay, we have other songs we need to play, how do you decide what's going to come out of the large catalog of songs?
That's the hard one, you know what I mean? That's probably the hard one. Obviously, you know the set list of Demanufacturer. Mm-hmm. So we just decided to, I mean, there's so many songs we could play, but we decided to also promote our new record. Right. So we're doing three songs off the new album, Dielectric, Soul Hacker, and Regenerate. So we're doing those three songs. Those are the first three songs that were out. And then we're doing a couple from Obsolete, which is Shock and Edge Crusher. We're doing one from Archetype, which is Archetype. And we're doing an old song, Martyr.
Wow.
You know what I mean? But if we do another headlining set, we would have to, you know, that's going to be even harder picking all the songs that you want to play from all the different records because we have such a deep catalog.
Yeah,
it gets harder and harder every year.
The guy from Comic Blue, his JJ, I can introduce it to him, but he was like, I got to hear Where Evil Dwells.
I know, that's an amazing song. That's a great song. And if we did Obsolete in its entirety, we would probably be doing some of those other songs, yeah.
Awesome.
We'd have to play Cards.
Yeah, that did really
Where
well
Evil
for you.
Dwells, Soul, but that's already like an hour and 15 minutes or so. So we would probably have to do, you know, some other songs too. Or we could just do the whole album and the B-sides, and that'd be enough.
Wow. That would be very cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Cards real quick. That song did really, really well for you. Do you think that was a hindrance or a burden in any way?
It kind of was when it came out. I mean, no, I can't complain because
Right. The
band obviously got a little bit more successful because of that song. But the bad part about it was we had to play it every night.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that we really wanted to play every night. You know, don't get me wrong, we love Gary Numan and we completely respect him. And, you know, he definitely helped shape who we are as well too, because he was one of definitely the pioneers of that Moog keyboard that he used, you know the electronic sound that he had going on. That was definitely something that influenced us. That was the reason why we did the song. But you know, playing that song that every night was like, okay, well, we didn't want to play it every night. So what we did is we were like, okay, let's just play it on certain shows. And then it became, you know, it worked out better for us because we didn't have to do it every night. And it was like, it made the fans want it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So we had to do it on all the radio shows, like shows that were sponsored by radio stations.
Right.
We had to play it. Shows that were not, we didn't play it.
Very cool.
So
let's talk about the new album. Genexus, did I say that correctly?
Yes.
All right, awesome. I was going that through my mind when on the way over here. It's actually one of my top 10 albums from this past year, and I could not stop listening to it. It's super catchy. It's to me, it was a spiritual successor to Demanufacturer, closer than what you've ever done.
Yeah, well, we wanted to, when me and Bert first started writing the record, we're like, okay, what are we going to sing about? What are we going to do? You know, so one of the things that we said was, like, we need to take our time. Let's take our time, write the record. Let's not rush it. And when you get more time to write a record, obviously you get to find its faults.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we really analyzed the songs. We really went through everything with a fine-tooth comb. And another thing that we said, it was like, okay, let's try to channel the energy that we had on some of our early records and bring that vibe back in. Not necessarily copy what we did, but just the energy and what we felt and what we were going through at that time.
Right.
You know, and try to channel that into the new record. And I think we did. I think that we were able to capture that. I think that's one of the reasons why the record, you know, was really well received.
Is there any? You mentioned three songs that you're playing. Are there any other songs that you would want to play if you could on live?
Definitely, Expiration Date, which we shot a video for, by the way. And it's going to be great. It's going to be out in a couple weeks. Love to play that song. It's a different song. It's a different vibe. It's you know, very mellow track. Bert really shines on that song. We've played Proto Mech before. We want to start introducing Anodized, the song called Anodized.
I love the Reese's work in that song. It's the tinge of it. It just works so well.
Yeah. Autonomous Combat System. Yeah, we want to add that into the set. So I don't know. It's going to be, to me, that record could be played in its entirety. A lot of people have been asking for Church of Execution, Battle for Utopia. You know, people are asking for these songs like, man, where are we? We have to do like a two, three-hour set to get through all of it.
Have you done any shows like that? You played that long?
Yeah, we played like an hour and 45 minutes, an hour and 50 minutes, almost 2 hours. Yeah, we've done that before. But it does get very tiring, especially for Bert's vocals, because him going back and forth is pretty hard. So we would have to only do it on certain shows.
Do you find it easier when you and Burton get together and, okay, so he's going to work on lyrics and story concepts and all that? Do you find it easier to write the riff to that?
Definitely. Oh, his lyrics, titles, conceptual ideas definitely inspire the music, for sure, and vice versa. You know what I mean? And sometimes it's like you're writing a riff, you're writing a beat, okay, it's cool, it sounds great, then Reese adds something else, you're like, oh shit, okay, let's build on that, let's go with that. And then all of a sudden Bert comes with another idea and he starts, you know, singing some parts, you're like, oh wow, then it just grows and evolves, you know what I mean? And that's one of the best parts about creating, because you just, something could inspire something else and then it could just turn into something better.
So when you guys are recording, you play a lot of the parts, you play guitar, you play bass, you do some of the, you know, production and things like that. Why? I know you have a full lineup in the band. How come some of those guys don't join on the album?
Tony joined the band pretty much when the album was just about done.
Okay.
So he didn't get to play on it, unfortunately. And Mike Keller played on the record. He played live drums on the record. So he has a little bit of his flair to it, you know, a little bit of the roles and just, you know,
yes,
little idiosyncrasies that he has that he likes to add and just, you know.
And we
left the human element into the music, which I think also helped a lot too.
So mixing was done by Andy Sneap. How did that come about?
Well, we wanted to try something different. You know what I mean? Because we used this guy Greg Reilly a few times, and we wanted to say, okay, you know, maybe we should go somewhere else. And we thought that Andy Sneap would be best suited for it. And it took a few tries. You know, we had quite a few phone calls about the direction that we wanted to go in. And, you know, after about four or five phone calls of just talking about the ideas, he nailed it. And so we were completely, you know, pleased with how he did it. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to use him again in the future.
So in the album, Gen X, is it an overlaying, like, concept across the whole album, or song sort of like separate but together?
Well, it obviously deals with the evolution of where we are as a society, living amongst the Genexus model of, you know, robots or automatons, whatever you want to call them. You know, the singularity process has already, it's been here, it's now. It's man and machine have become one. And so it's all the different aspects of what you could use that type of technology for, whether it be medical, whether it be war, whether it be sex, or just a robot everyday life that you don't even know,
right,
what it is, you know, or that it's not human.
Very
you know
cool.
what I mean? And also the perspective of how it feels as well. You know what I mean?
The human element of...
Of course.
Right.
There's actually a new clip that we saw about a new movie called Rise, mm-hmm. where it's kind of a little bit like Blade Runner. They want to eliminate the robot because the robot started to become smarter than the human, and it started to make its... It started to make... And it started to make its own kind, and it started to pretty much rise against humanity. Mm. And so basically saying, we're going to take over, you know, which is kind of like where obsolete comes mm-hmm. our record, where we are becoming obsolete. And that's kind of like, you know, we always try to, you know, whenever we sing about concepts, we always try to sing at least, you know, years ahead, you know.
Right.
And we're getting closer and closer and closer every day.
Everybody's attached to all their electronics, their phone. It's getting there, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, but the, you know, being attached to your phone is, that's just one little aspect of it. But, you know, when your phone becomes you, that's where we take it.
I agree on that one.
So what are we going to sing about next album? I don't know. We might make a simple rock record, a simple rock record, meaning like conceptual record where it's just party and girls. Who knows? You know what I mean?
How far ahead since you...
That could be the future.
So Genexus came out last year and you're on tour now. How far ahead are you thinking about, okay, we got to start writing songs and that kind of stuff?
Well, we haven't really sat down and talked about it because right now we're doing the touring thing. And that kind of takes a lot out of you. You know what I mean? Obviously doing interviews and obviously doing meet and greets every day, playing these shows. You know, sometimes you don't really have time to sit down and talk about it. And so when we do, you know, we just focus on that one thing.
Very cool. So let's talk about a little bit about your influences. What got you into playing guitar? What were those first albums that really got you?
First albums that really got me was probably AC/DC. If You Want Blood, You Got It. And that was, I was like, I don't know, 9, 10 years old when I heard it. I fell in love with it. And then by the time I was 14, I had electric guitar playing all those riffs. And then obviously, you know, it evolves. You start listening to the heavier stuff. You go into Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, you know, Van Halen and Motorhead and all that stuff. And then it obviously progresses into the Metallicas and the Slayers and the Exodus and the whole thrash thing that came out. And then, you know, and then all of a sudden you get into even the heavier stuff like Napalm Death and Carcass and Obituary and Suffocation. So
you're exactly right.
All that stuff kind of influenced me and just how extreme music went. But all those bands that I mentioned, some of them lacked something that we still wanted to have. And that was melodic vocals, melody, you know, the keyboards and all that stuff. And that was one of the things where Burton and I came from more the metal side. Burt came more from the alternative side, meaning like industrial. And he liked a lot of the sub pop bands like Nirvana, Mudhoney, Tad, a lot of different kinds of stuff. And you know, he liked Head of David and stuff like that. And then it was like when we met, it was just like an explosion of ideas. And it's like, well, what if we did this? What if we did that? What if we brought in this band? What if we brought in this band? Meaning styles, you know, influences. And like, wow. And then Fear Factory just became a big melting pot of influences until we grew and evolved to create something that was original and our own.
So when the band first started all those years ago, did you think you would be where you are today?
Everybody dreams. You know what I mean? And we still dream. You know what I mean? Once you stop dreaming, then it's over.
Very cool. So let's let a couple more comic blues questions, and I'll let you go get ready for the show tonight. Okay. You've been to E3 before. Last year, comic blues had 40,000 people there. So a lot of people are going to be excited to see you there. I guess you're planning to do a panel as well.
I didn't know that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. So yeah, whatever they want to talk about, we'll be willing to answer whatever they want. It could be not even about comic books. It could be about music. It could be about whatever. It could be about the Dr. Pepper that's sitting on the table right now. You want to talk about it? For an hour? Would I do that for an hour about Dr. Pepper?
We could.
I was just making a generalization of whatever anybody wants to talk about or opens or whatever.
Very cool. So I know, I don't know how much you know about
because this is a Burton question, really, but he did a graphic novel for one of the albums, The Industrialist. That's a perfect thing to bring to Comic Palooza as well.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll definitely bring some of those, for sure. I mean, why wouldn't he? It'd be the smart thing to do. And that is the book of The Industrialist, the concept of The Industrialist album. And so he brought that into his own graphic novel, which I thought was, you know, genius. It was something that we should have done a long time ago, which I've been telling him forever, but finally he got around to do it. Scraped up enough money. Obviously the fans wanted it, and we sell them every night, you know what I mean? So there's a demand for it.
So what was that reaction you got when you found out you were invited to come to Comic Palooza?
I was like, us? I was like, hell yeah. I mean, I was excited. I know Bert is really excited. I mean, you know, obviously he's a really, probably a bigger geek in the comic book side than I am, you know. But we come together, we're both more science fiction as far as, you know, movies and television shows.
I guess you guys are going to have a great time. If Burton's really into comic books, it's going to blow his mind to be there.
Oh, of course. I mean, people dress as all different characters, right?
Oh, yeah. I can show you some pictures.
So let me ask you a question. What do you think I should go as? You can ask the fans that. What should Dino dress as?
That should be that could be a Twitter contest. The winning answer will get a free pass.
There you go.
You can do that.
But they got to remember, I'm a big guy, so, you know, you can't make me go fit in some small... Oh, what, you in Spider-Man? That's going to look pretty funny.
I've seen some of the guys dressed with Spider-Man.
Oh, I wouldn't do that. I'd have to wear a cup, so my...
Exactly. Cool. I appreciate your time, man. Anything you want to say to the fans of Comic Palooza that are looking forward to see you there?
Yeah, we can't wait to be there. We're excited that you guys invited us, and please come out. We're a couple of friendly guys. We don't bite, and you know, we'll do whatever: sign autographs, take pictures, and we'll geek out.
Cool. Thank you, man.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.